Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's the Local Pete Show. It is Monday, and as I say at this juncture, after the weekend, I do hope you've had a good one.
Yeah.
I do hope you've kept safe. I hope you're not in the hospital. I hope you're not in the ICU, yeah?
Don't be working all the time.
Don't be working.
Switch off, yeah?
Take a week off.
Maybe.
Email your manager or ring him up and say, no.
Do it now.
No more. Do it now. Just go, no.
Because the real success...
Can it be fucked?
Are the friends we make along the way? Aren't they?
Yes.
And apologies to you if you're working shifts and you have to work the weekend. I hope you get a weekend elsewhere in the week. Mm-hmm. It's convenient. There's less traffic.
True.
Yeah, listen, if your weekend's a Wednesday and a Thursday, for instance, don't worry about being busy at the shops.
Yeah, another tip from me. Don't try and drive from Euston in central London to Essex on a Friday afternoon.
Don't drive in
just
central London generally.
Don't do it, mate.
Don't do it anyway.
Don't do it.
No. Yeah. How do you feel, Peter? I mean, I think this is a good time of the year to be talking about this. Mm. How do you feel about the changing of the seasons, the advent of autumn upon us?
I don't feel like I've had much of a summer, but when you're in this studio quite a lot, it does get very oppressively hot. So I'm looking forward to it cooling down a little bit in that respect. I mean, it seems weird that we pay rent for an office building and there's no aircon. In it.
You're having a pop at the man, are you?
Yes, I am.
You're using this as a vehicle to have a pop at the man?
Yes, I am. No aircon in the building. Very strange.
When people
Very
say to
bizarre.
Me, when people say to me, what's the show about? I say, it's a vehicle to have a pop at the man.
To get things off our chest.
But that's quite a boring answer because you're talking about just remote, entirely related to work.
I don't have any romance for any particular season.
Well,
you
live by the ocean now.
I do live by the Billy Ocean now. It's not like I can jump in the ocean, can I? Because it'd be too cold.
Get out of my dreams.
Imagine Billy Ocean's life. I think he comes from somewhere in Essex, I want to say. At Basildon or something. And he was like Mr. 80s in the US. He was so famous. He did so many great songs.
So apparently he was born in Trinidad and Tobago, but he made his home in Romford.
There you go, Romford. Yeah. I knew it was that.
And it's funny you mention that because I always think about Mick Fleetwood being from a rural part of Cornwall. Because Mick Fleetwood, like in the 70s, remember when they're making Rumours? Classic record.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
bigger than Jesus, like huge band. You know, huge.
The story, the possibly apocryphal tale of Rumours is that when they checked the midweeks, it had sold 4 million records.
Right.
It did like 8.5 million its first week. Like, it's a ridiculous level. I don't know if it's ever been beaten. I don't know if that's the record still. But at that point, it was like an astonishing amount of records to be selling. And clearly it's an autobiographical record about the various myriad relationships within the band.
Everything
people breaking
shit.
Up. Yeah. And a huge amount of cocaine. Mm. Right. And obviously high quality cocaine because they're recording
the
up in the 70s
best.
In LA or whatever.
The very best.
Yeah. And I just think that that's a long way from Mick Fleetwood being from like quite a small town in Cornwall.
Yes.
How does that happen?
It's more that I will have told the story before on the podcast, but probably not for the last couple of months. He turned up at my old radio station and in the lift, he got a puppet out of his pocket that was of Mick Fleetwood.
And made him
talk to one of the producers.
I rate that.
And he also said to a presenter who was interviewing him, you're very tall. Like, Mick Fleetwood is fucking tall.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Tallest man in rock, maybe?
Yeah, probably. And then he said, he kept on trying to get the runner to get him a bottle of wine. Give me a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And he went and he just gets a bottle, like, gets a Riesling, whatever.
Yeah.
Gets a bottle of wine, and his wife went, "Do not get him a bottle of wine." And then he said, "Right, let's all go to the pub." And she went, "You can't go to the pub. You've got dinner tonight." And he goes, "Who with?" He goes, "Your family." He went, "Oh shit." It's just even at that age, having the best time.
Did you know that he
apart from having dinner with his family, he doesn't enjoy.
Do you know he estimated that he in total had snorted 70 miles of cocaine?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I love the maths of that.
I wouldn't want to see his shits.
No.
Massive guy, and he's just emptying himself out with cocaine. Wow.
I want to know the mathematics of that, because he's probably estimating quite a large amount. I understand.
How thin's the line?
You know,
I want the width.
If you transpose it across to beers, you could probably, if it's a big session back in the day when you're into that kind of thing,
you're getting like 8 or 9.
But you're sketchy.
Yes.
You're never going to know.
No.
I mean, you're not realistically going to know.
I'm always like, if I'm feeling like absolute twaddle the next day, I'm going, "I only had like 3 drinks. And then I think back and go, "No, I had 7.
Yeah.
I had way more than that.
The trick is to avoid beer.
Okay.
For me, the trick is to avoid beer. The point being, I think with Mick on that fact, I think you've got to times it by 1.5.
Yes. Yeah. But then they come in, I suppose it comes in grams, doesn't it? And you know how many you've had, I guess.
But he doesn't know. I mean, he's not measuring out with a ruler the average length.
No, he's not.
And we haven't, as you say, we haven't even talked about width. I just think that you're right about Billy Ocean, because nothing sounds less like Romford than Billy Ocean.
Than when the going gets tough.
And nothing sounds less like...
"Get out of my dreams, get in my car, lover boy, Caribbean queen."
Yeah. Oh. And that, I mean, clearly he's got influence of the fact that he's from the Caribbean originally, but with Mick, nothing sounds less like Red Ruth Cornwall than like Gold Dust Woman on like Rumours. You know, it doesn't say anything like it. Now, I know he's not written those songs, he's just a drummer on some of them, but you know, the point being, it's kind of, I'd just love to have been around when they were making that shit. Like, yeah. I'd love to have been around when Rolling Stones were making Exile on Main Street in that massive chateau where people were just coming and going.
Right.
And, you know, they would be there making a record, but like for 3 months they would just do nothing.
Partying, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just very much like the early days of the Ramble.
Well, I think nowadays artists very much have to tour constantly. They never stop. But back in the day, you could get away with not doing quite so much touring.
Record company money back then. If you were a big recording artist in the 70s and 80s, that's it. You're making so much wedge.
It's done, yeah.
It's very hard for you to make money now, right?
True.
Very difficult. Unless you're a kind of, you know, you're an Ed Sheeran or an Adele or whatever. But maybe that's always been the case. I don't think it has, though, because I feel like some bands in the 70s and 80s who maybe we wouldn't even heard of made a very good living out of music.
Yeah. No, completely agree.
Yeah.
Completely agree.
Good stuff. Anyway, Peter, what are we going to talk about this week? Are we going to talk about, because you've just, I've seen a note in the running order from you saying you have ghosts in your walkie-talkie. Now, I didn't even know
ghosts.
You had a walkie-talkie.
Okay.
So you need more than one of them for them to work, right?
Yeah, so I, in my unlovable little cabin down the end of the garden, I have
talk us through the setup.
Cabin, end of the garden.
Is that where your studio is?
That's where the studio is.
Oh, I thought that was in the bedroom in the house.
No. It was just a big cabin, and it was used for like a...
Size of this place here?
So the main room would probably be a little bit bigger than this room. Yeah, you'd probably be right. But then I've made a smaller little kind of part that's now the studio.
The masturbation corner.
The masturbation corner. Well, yeah. I don't have blinds, so I couldn't get up that kind of thing. I've thought about it. And so I'm out in the cabin and I'm just doing stuff. And so my partner I have access to needs to talk to me, but she obviously doesn't want to. I mean, it might be raining. It's miserable to sort of walk in the garden just to talk to the person who you profess to love.
How many paces? Profess to love.
It's only about, I don't know, 20 paces or something.
Okay.
15 paces.
Yeah, I just want to build a picture.
It's like a patio thing.
Imagine it's like this American life.
It's raining. It's raining. And... So I got us some cheap walkie-talkies.
Please do not tell me that you and the partner you have access to have walkie-talkies to communicate when you're in the cabin in the bottom of the garden.
Well, down the bottom of the garden, yeah. So she can talk to me, right? But I leave it, obviously I leave an open channel so that she could just pick up the walkie-talkie and go, "Oh, Peter, your tea's ready," et cetera, et cetera. Like a child.
Yeah.
But every now and again during the evening, a fucking voice just appears.
You're probably just picking up a police channel or something.
No, I caught him.
Huh. It's like a CB operator. One of those enthusiasts.
He's in Medway, whatever he is. But that's he said, I'm on Channel 8. So it's over the estuary. It's over the river, which is incredible. Miles away. And he's like, anyone else on Channel 8? And I've replied back going, hello? And he never says anything back.
But he's a CB so enthusiast, spooky. Mate.
I don't think it is a CB enthusiast. I think it's maybe something to do with shipping. I don't know. He said, if there's anyone out there, let's get in touch. If anybody could decipher what the guy said, I just couldn't understand what he's doing. But he's in Medway, and he's just sort of saying, this is just a general call. And I replied, and he didn't reply back. Did I not say over? Did I not say breaker? What's the... Yeah. I think he actually says the word breaker. So maybe he is a CB guy. But why Channel 8 out of all of the channels?
And as This American Life would say, and why was there a shipwreck at Leon Sea that night after you'd done your thing?
It's so That's spooky,
weird.
Though.
That is weird. So like the first time you heard that must be a bit of a shock.
Yeah. Well, I didn't hear it. My friend heard it. And went, who's that bloke who was just talking in your kitchen, like on your little walkie-talkie? I was like, what? I thought it was just interference, but the guy's saying I'm on Channel 8, and I'm on Channel 8.
Can't you just change your channel?
Yeah, but then there might be someone on Channel 9.
How many channels are there?
10 channels.
Just 10?
Frightening. Yeah.
Wow. Oh. The Channel 8 ghost.
The Channel 8
he
ghost.
I mean, I'll be honest, he doesn't sound that threatening.
No, he seems quite friendly.
He sounds like he lives
but
in his own.
Why doesn't he fucking reply at me when I'm saying hello? He probably didn't use the right words. So if anyone's got any suggestions about what the hell is going on there, but he's in Medway.
I mean, this is just fascinating for a number of different reasons. One, that you communicate with your partner that you have access to by CB radio.
Yeah.
How much do you pay for the walkie-talkies?
25 quid. Very cheap.
Should they be picking up that far away?
Apparently so.
Maybe they're just
weirdly powerful.
So, I mean, I don't know about this, so forgive me, this is a stupid question. Does that mean there's no one closer than that speaking on that channel on a CB radio walkie-talkie anywhere in your town?
Well, I don't know. I've not heard him. It's just that guy. So I would hear everyone who's talking on Channel 8. I didn't realise that, you know, Channel 8 was like a famous kind of UHF frequency. Is it UHF? I think it might be UHF. It's got to be, hasn't it?
Imagine if you heard, like, a murder.
Why would somebody be broadcasting their murder on it?
Yours on in the fucking kitchen.
Yeah, but you got to press the button, yeah.
Okay.
Push to talk.
Yeah. It's weird. It's a weird throwback.
Yeah, it really is.
Because he, if that guy is so desperate to talk to people and make contact and have online friends or whatever,
yeah.
Use the internet, brother.
Use the internet. Wait until he hears about the internet. It's Medway, isn't it? Oi, oi. Essex-Kent rivalry.
you're a part of it now. So yeah, keep us posted.
Yeah, I might play some music down there. I'll sort of go, hello, how are you doing? What's going on?
Try and make contact with
him. What are you wearing? Age, sex, location. Let me know.
That's what people used to say.
Yeah.
On the old MSN. Mm-hmm. Did you used to use MSN?
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit, here and there.
What was your username?
Well, Brandvan 3000, obviously.
Was it?
Yep.
Brandvan 3000.
Brandvan 3000. Yeah.
What a blast from the past that is. Mm-hmm. I only had one song.
That's incorrect, but carry on.
Drinking in LA was their song, wasn't it?
They did a cover of Come and Feel a Noise, so have some respect.
Did that make it on their album?
They did. Their second album was, they led with a single called Astounded, which is quite good. A bit of a disco number. Very nice.
Oh, I've typed in Brandvan 2000 by accident. So they had four albums, one released in 2010.
And very Quebecian. They're very sort of like, you've had your hit, now get back to Canada.
So what album is Drinking in LA on?
That's the first one, Glee.
Wow.
Come on, Feel the Noise, Couch Surfing.
1997.
Absolute bangers.
Come on, Feel the Noise, yeah.
It has not done very well with age, to be quite frank. It's not great.
Well, Absolute Radio 90s occasionally play Drinking LA, and it's a great tune to hear.
It's play every bloody day. And I used to be on it.
Well, only once, though. No repeat. No repeat guarantee.
Yeah, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Yeah.
We didn't say we didn't repeat the songs during the days.
And what was your primary use of MSN? Did you used to just chat to your pals, or did you meet new people?
Yeah, I think so.
How do you meet
yeah.
new people? They needed to be in your contact list, didn't they?
Yeah, I think it doesn't really matter. Like, I guess you could only get in touch with the people that you knew, but. Forums. I was like a few forums back in the day.
Oh yeah,
not particularly. It sounds more niche and nefarious than it actually is. Just people who likes video games, really, and the TV show 24.
Were you part of a 24 forum?
Loved a bit of 24.
Charlie Brooker was talking the other day. I read an interview of him on one of the weekend newspapers, and I don't really know. I was part of the reason I read it. Is I was excited because I thought maybe he's bringing back Black Mirror, but he's not. He's got a new series, and he was saying that. The most thrilling part of any job he's had is when he was doing Screen Wipe or whatever the first iteration of it. Oh, actually, before Screen Wipe, when he was doing The Guardian Guide.
Yes.
He said that he would get the tapes for 24 sent to him ahead of time.
Oh, lovely.
And no one else could watch them.
That is enjoyable.
And it would be couriered, like high security couriered yes. to him on DVD or whatever the fuck it was.
Nice.
And it was just amazing be able to watch them and know that you were the only person watching them because yeah. obviously it was before the internet cool. properly kicked off. Incredible, like, that would be an incredible job.
They administer, it's quite interesting actually, I only learned this quite recently, but video game reviewers, they, or certainly previewers, they get early builds of games, but it's delivered in a kind of streaming service.
Right. So like a high security thing, like Steam.
But you're, no, because you're on, it's more like Stadia. Are you familiar with that?
Where yes. Google Stadia.
A system somewhere in the ether are doing all the graphical processes and the input processing and stuff. And you're just getting fed a video feed, but you've got control and you kind of, you know, it goes up the chute and it refreshes it every millisecond or whatever. It's a really interesting way of administering preview builds because it just means like that they don't have to deliver anything. They don't have to make sure that your system is compatible. They've already got the systems. They've already got it so it doesn't crash and stuff. So
how yeah. I mean, the question on everyone's lips is how into 24 were you?
I liked it. I had the little dot 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 on my mobile phone.
I've never seen sound it. Effect.
You've never seen 24?
No.
Have a word with yourself. You've watched The Sopranos twice and you've not watched any 24?
Three times Sopranos.
Good God.
I watched an episode last night, actually.
Just worry about you, sunshine.
What were the topics of conversation on the forum, though?
Do you like extracurricular illegal torture techniques?
Extrajudicial. Interrogation
techniques. Do you like them? Yeah?
Was it seen as being a bit kind of passe to be a big Jack Bauer fan?
Yeah, everyone was a Tony Almeida fan, which was kind of his sidekick.
Can I just embarrassingly say that I don't even know what it's about?
Well, it's all kinds of stuff. Mainly just, it was post 9/11, terrorists are taking over, they're going to explode a dirty bomb or whatever, and Jack Bauer was the FBI / whatever agent.
Is that why you got CTU a walkie-talkie?
I got a walkie-talkie.
You wanted to be like Jack Bauer?
Yeah.
What, he would always follow the plots?
Yes, again, he would always follow the plots, yeah. And but it would always be like
24 episodes and an hour each.
Yeah.
It's a real-time show.
But it would always be, not really, I mean, you've got adverts. He just goes for a piss when you have the adverts. Some dinner. But he, within a day, he managed to get off the brown. I remember that. He was undercover in Afghanistan or whatever, and he had to prove that he was a cool gangster to like a real criminal.
Yeah.
So he got addicted to heroin.
Oh, I bet all the masterminds are always addicted to heroin. Yeah, fucking hell.
And then he's like, but he had a really posh shooting up kit. Like it was like, because he couldn't be seen to just be using a dirty old needle. Yeah. He had this silver needle, hypodermic syringe and stuff like that.
Did you talk about that on the forum?
Yeah, he is. What cool kit he's got to take drugs.
What were you using? What was you using though?
I don't know. It probably would have just been my name, to be honest. But or maybe Brandon 3000. I just do not know.
One size catches all with Brandon 3000. I know, so right? You're a big Macy Gray man and a big Brown Van man.
Macy Gray, Brown Van 3000. Who's the other one? Who did the song "Confessions of a Cowgirl"? Do you remember her? "Confessions of a Cowgirl." What was her name? No, it wasn't that. It was something of a cowgirl, but she was like a singer. Okay. Imani Coppola. Remember Imani Coppola?
No, it's so random.
Just any one-hit wonder.
The three
any
biggest artists wonder, in your late 90s for you were Brown Van 3000, Macy Gray, and
Imani Coppola.
I've never heard of. It's so funny.
Yeah.
All right, Peter, let's have a little break. You can show me the 24 forum, see if it's still up. And when we come back, we'll do an email or two. How about that?
Okie dokie then.
See you soon.
Ta-ta.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's the Luke and Pete Show. Is it as good as Imani Coppola's debut album, Chupacabra? We'll never know.
Chupacabra is the...
It's like a spooky horror thing, isn't it? It's
a
like
mythical...
A mythical beast.
Yeah, a mythical beast.
That a every, wee mythical beast.
That every society has a story about, right?
Oh, it's a creature believed through some parts of the Americas to drink the blood of livestock. I mean, we all do that, don't we? I have black pudding.
Isn't it?
Well, I've got haggis in the fridge.
Yeah. I suppose if you eat a steak, I mean, you're having the blood of livestock, really.
True. Oh, I had a big meat fest last night.
I saw the picture of it.
Oh.
And can I just say before you get into it, because you are probably going to try and sell it into our listeners.
Mate.
I was lucky enough, if that's the right word,
meaty meats,
to see a photo of it. And I'll tell you exactly what it was. I'm going to bring up the photo now.
Mm.
It was a picture of a massive frying pan,
meat.
Possibly a wok,
mm.
with a load of doner kebab meat in it,
uh-huh.
the occasional piece of cucumber in the frying pan. Some pickled
that fell in accidentally.
And onions. And the frying pan is massive and completely full.
It was massive. I couldn't finish it all.
Where did you buy such a large quantity?
Because I had mates stay, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd deliver a load of kebabs, and they'd gone to bed. I kind of half fell asleep when the guy turned up.
So this is leftover kebab?
This is leftover kebab meat from the night before.
So. Okay, and how are you feeling afterwards?
Surprisingly fine. I'm as surprised as you are. I know, right? Yeah, yeah. It'll happen on the holiday.
The Sunday night Chinese replacement, that.
Yeah, no, I thought, you know what? Because I had oh my God, fucking guy in the shop, in the pub I was in. This young kid was delivering everyone's food, and I went for the lamb, other people went for beef, whatever.
Oh, you're having a Sunday lunch?
Having a Sunday lunch. Having a roast. And he comes over, he says, here's the beef, here's the chicken, and he goes to me, here's your beef. And I said, I actually ordered lamb. And you know me, I would have just eaten. I would have been fine.
You'd rather go in the kitchen and cook it all yourself and do all the washing up than even cause a problem.
Yeah, exactly. So I said, oh, sorry, mate, I think mine was lamb. And he sort of waited and sort of looked at me and sort of go, as if to go, I mean, it's just fucking same thing, though, isn't it?
Don't worry about
it. And so he thought about it again. He said, okay, I'll take it back. So he went back.
Yeah.
I said, sorry, it'd be a bother. And he came back again. And he said, sir, here's your beef.
Right.
And I was like, I'm definitely.
You're in it now.
I'm in it now. Definitely all the lamb and he's fucked off. Came back again with the same plate.
Yeah.
Sir, here's your lamb.
Yeah.
And I was like,
he's just changed the word. That's all he's done.
I was trying to figure out what the joke was, why he refused to get me lamb, and whether he's a naughty boy or he was just a boy fearful for his job. So I was just like,
what do you reckon? What's your assessment?
I think he was a naughty boy, Luke. I think he was one of you lot. I think he's just trying to get away with it. Just kind of, don't give a shit about the job. I'll just do whatever. And
if that was
because
me,
of politeness, terrible anxiety-ridden politeness,
yeah.
I won't get in trouble for it.
If that was me as the waiter, every time you sent me back, I would have eaten one of your ass potatoes.
I know, that's what I mean. That's what I mean.
So what did you end up with?
I just ate a load of beef, turns out. Could have been lamb, could have been beef. I don't know. Yeah, I should be able to tell. It felt like beef to me.
Okay, awful. So he's just...
He's had me over.
So it happened three times. Yep. And he went, hello, sir, here's your beef. Second one.
Here's your beef.
Hello, sir, here's your beef. And he went, third one. Hello, sir, here's your
lamb.
Lamb. Yeah, okay.
Beef.
You've eaten
bam.
Beef. You've eaten
bam.
Beef there.
I've eaten beef basically. There, yeah.
Is it any good?
It was all right.
So that's why you had to order a load of lamb kebabs that night.
Had enough lamb.
The burning hole in your soul where the lamb should have been. Anyway. Emails. Let's do an email.
I forgot whether we're going into a break or coming out of a
break.
No,
we're out of one.
Into the break.
We've done that.
Into the break was Jack Bauer.
The thing is, that's all the boring stuff. I actually agree with, you know me, I'm a big fan of Danny Kelly, but I actually agree with Danny Baker on this specific issue only.
Okay.
Which is that all the shit that people go mad about in radio, you have to do this and you have to do that, that is all the boring shit.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, don't say the name of the song, just say the artist.
Yeah.
And make sure you fucking name check the station three times an hour. Fuck off. That is crap, though, isn't it?
Well, especially in the name of, radio readouts. Like, you know what station you're listening to.
Why do people do that?
It's Chris Country. I always listen to Chris Country.
Christian Country.
Chris Country, mate.
Anyway, who's emailed in? Oh, yes, Arno. Great name, Arno.
Arno.
So, I mean, for those who aren't familiar with the name Arno, I'm going to say French Arnold.
Right, okay, I know.
Arnold, but French.
Yeah, okay, fair.
But he's emailed in English, crucially. And that's why it's being read out. Arno says, this is a great story. A very, very good story. I've been excited for it. I've been holding it back, but here we go. Long time listener, first time emailer. You're very welcome along, Arno. On the back of recent bike trips chat, I thought I'd chip in with a story of my own. We've had two or three interesting stories about very resourceful young people listening to this show going on bike trips with their friends. Now, I've never done that. And I feel like now I've missed out a bit. Maybe I should have done it when I was younger, but I didn't. And I know, Pete, you haven't either. You can ride a bike though, right?
I can ride a bike.
Yeah, all good. Anyway, Arno says, about 5 years ago, age 24, me and my mate decided we'd cycle to France. More a default option, as I was too skint to go skiing and my parents have a place there, so we'd be able to do it on the cheap. And we set off on the first leg from southwest London to Portsmouth to catch the ferry the next morning. Big shout out to the Ibis Budget Fratton Park. Very nice. You stayed there, haven't you, Pete?
Yes, I have.
You have stayed there?
It's, out of 10? It's where I'll commit suicide.
Okay. Mm. But out of 10, that's
a
maximum of a six. That's the case. On the other side, said Arno, things went relatively well, apart from a few navigation issues, including choosing to ignore our recommended route and opt for an As the Crow Flies, or in our case, As the Lorries Drive route over the St. Nazaire Bridge. Anyway, we made it and gorged ourselves on wine and cheese for a few days before heading back. Having made it to the port town of St. Malo and killing some time before boarding the return ferry, I remembered I promised a mate I'd get him some cheap cigars. So I went into a newsagent's and bought some, as well as a couple of scratch cards with the change. Fast forward to the ferry bar, and I scratched the first one. Nothing. I scratch the second and do a double take. I consider my French to be good enough to understand the rules of the game. And so I say to my mate, I'm pretty sure I've just won €30,000.
Sacre bleu.
He went absolutely nuts. Well, I remain in a weird trance. I then confirmed with a French waitress who let out a whimper as confirmation and we swiftly ordered some more beers. I was pretty sceptical still, though. I thought perhaps I hadn't understood the rules. There might be some kind of loophole about me not being a French resident. To add to my uncertainty, we were floating around in the middle of the Channel and heading back to England, so I had no way of verifying. I had to wait an excruciating 3 weeks for my parents to return to France and take the scratch card back to the newsagents, who, after getting the manager, confirmed the jackpot. Such a wonderful message to receive while working in my very poorly paid job at the time, subsequently and now allowing me to move out of my parents' house and go to the World Cup in Russia.
Now, that is not investing for your future. That is just going to the World Cup in
Russia. It's free money, isn't it? He said, to this day, the craziest thing that's ever happened to me. Thank you for all the laughs, and begambleaware.org. Cheers, Arno. Good luck to you, Arno. That's brilliant. Well done.
Oh, fantastic. If I ever won the lottery, no one would ever know. If I ever won a scratch card, no one would ever know, because I wouldn't tell anyone else, I think.
The trick, I actually think the trick with winning a jackpot like that is to actually treat it with no respect, because it's taking no respect to earn it.
Yes.
So if you think I've won 10 million.
So walking on your system and go, give me a fucking lottery ticket, yeah. Cunt.
No, I don't mean like that.
Right.
I just mean that if you build up a business and sell it for millions and you end up as millions as a part of it, you understand the work that went into earning that money. Mm. You respect it.
Yeah.
It's no different to when Jeff Goldblum talked about them bringing dinosaurs back in Jurassic Park.
Mm.
It's taken you no respect, no kind of discipline to attain it.
Mm.
You don't know what you're dealing with. Mm. You can't deal with the seismic nature of what you've just achieved. So you might as well treat it quite frivolously and expect to live your life completely as you would before. That's the best way of approaching it. Otherwise, you get a Michael Carroll on your hands. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so.
But so then he's done the right thing there, aren't
he? Mikey Carroll treated it with no respect, did he?
That's what I'm saying. Just, yeah. No, but he thought that it would change his life. But he couldn't deal with it.
It didn't. He just bought my TVs.
He bought a massive track outside his back of his house and raced cars around it.
I mean...
And then lost his family.
Why did he lose his family?
I just think it was issues.
It always creates problems, doesn't it? But I think that if anybody had a lot of money, inexplicably and very quickly, it would just be great if they did just get a little track outside their house and just drove cars around. That's exciting.
It's also Michael Carroll, the so-called lottery lout.
The lottery lout
is a very quaint thing looking back now.
Yes,
2002. The big story of 2002. Michael Carroll wins 9.7 million on the national lottery.
That is a lot of money, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Even for a lottery lout. That's amazing that he managed
to spend. Well, he only became the lottery lout later.
Right. Okay.
And he called himself the self-proclaimed king of the chavs.
Mm.
But he had all sorts of issues, bless him.
He's now a coalman.
Mm. He tried to... he's a coalman now, is he?
Yeah.
So he tried to follow all the financial advice that they gave him and stuff. And then he had a celebrity boxing match with a guy from Gladiators.
which
should have been an alarm bell. He got given an ASBO as well.
Yeah.
He spent all his money on, apparently, according to him, in 2006, so just 4 years later, he'd spent all his money on new homes, drugs, parties, jewellery and cars. So there we go.
You'd as soon as you get the win, you fly to Dubai. That's the first thing you do. You take your lot, because it's where Tesla's people live, and you just get out of Dubai, have a weekend there, come back, get out your system, have a weekend, buy a big bottle of champagne, big bottle of Grego's vodka in a nightclub, do some drugs and come home. That's what you do.
Why people that have to do drugs to have a good time, Pete?
Booze, it's a drug, drugs.
You weren't taking drugs on the 24 Forum. Were you?
I was Jack Bauer was taking heroin, so I didn't have to. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, so it's like a vicarious thing.
It is.
Yeah. I'm sorry for Michael Carroll. I'm just saying, Arno seems like a very well balanced man. His sentence structure is very good. His grammar is excellent. It's clearly not affected him. He probably had a really good time at the Russian World Cup.
Mm.
I'm reading between the lines and thinking he's probably half French. So he had a great time, probably, because of what transpired.
Probably half English, mate.
Hey.
Come on. Have some respect.
English to the semi-final. And then, and that's that. So good on him. That's what I say.
Yeah.
That
cracking
is what
stuff.
I say.
Yeah, well done, mate.
What's the biggest thing you've ever won?
I won £25 to spend in Asda when I was about 8 for drawing a tree.
They shouldn't be giving financial prizes to 8-year-olds.
What do you mean? It was like a gift voucher, but I went to Tesco's and they put my picture up in the Tesco's or Asda or whatever. I think it was an Asda. And it was in a weird place as well. It was in like Catterick or something. It was a really
Where
weird...
is Catterick compared to where you were?
It's got out in the sticks. It's like quite a distance. It wasn't my local Asda, put it that way. Right. Why didn't the local Asda do it?
Yeah.
Very weird. But I drew a lovely tree in the snow. And they really liked it, so I spent a lot of money. I bought Ghostbusters the video game on the Amstrad, so very
fucking
nice.
Great purchase. Arno wants to take a leaf out of your book. That's a great purchase.
World Cup in Russia. Yeah. Buy an Amstrad CPC 464 game.
Did you have that Dave Thompson game?
Yeah, and that's the thing that just annoyed me about when Sir Clive Sinclair died quite recently. Daily Thompson Decathlon was trending rather than Sir Clive Sinclair.
Did Daly not say anything? Did he have any warm words for Clive's family?
He was too busy waggling his joystick, mate. He was too busy having a waggle.
Brilliant. So good. All right, let's get out of here. We'll be back on Thursday for a battery brand or two, some more of this nonsense and some of your stories as well. So make sure you get in touch. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. We bloody love talking to you today. Thank you for listening. Very excited, as ever. Maybe more walkie-talkie stories on Thursday, fingers crossed.
We'll find out what that man's up to.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll take them on holiday, see what's going
on. You should pitch that to This American Life.
Yeah.
That'd be a fucking
There's a man in my house.
They love that kind of
There's
stuff.
There's a man in my house, that'll be called. And people think it's like a massive crime. It's not. It's a walkie-talkie man.
They'll tell a story, and it'll take 40 minutes.
Yep.
And it'll just be one sentence.
Well, I mean, people in glass houses, Luke. You shouldn't. Yeah. It's the way we carry
true.
On this
That's
podcast.
True, That is actually true. Well, but the thing is, we're more honest.
We're honest about it. Yeah, we don't ask for the advertising revenue. We just don't.
I fucking do. All right, let's go. We'll see you on Thursday. Have a good week.
This was a Stack production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.